Our text is continuing the challenges from Luke. This is Luke 6, beginning with verse 27. Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. But if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, so to receive much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in Michigan this week, and we visited with Carrie's family and went skiing in northern Michigan. About an hour down from Mackinac Island, just to give you a sense of how far north we were. It was wonderful to be skiing again. It's been about 5 years since I had been, and I didn't really count that time. I tried to snowboard, and it didn't go well for me. A lot of gravity involved with snowboarding. I found that as I've gotten older and as I've changed, and I thought about the stages of life in skiing while I was there and thought back to when I was Nathan's age or younger, skiing in North Carolina in the ice and slush for the first time. And I really kind of gauge those stages by how I pray. And I pray continually. And so when I say, dear God, I mean, dear God. I am actually talking to God. So I encourage you in your own lifestyle, don't use the letters OMG. Unless you are talking to G. And I don't mean it to be puritanical, but it's one of the top 10 commandments. Let's just put it in that frame of reference. And that's a good way of showing respect. In Morocco, everybody doesn't kneel at the call to prayer, but people are quiet. That's respectful. And so as you think about that, so as I tell you this, I want you to know that when I say dear God, I mean dear God. And the first time you're on a ski lift as a kid, and there's nobody pulls the bar down, and you realize there's nothing below you, I said, dear God. Because you're not sure what gravity will do. And then you get to the top of the lift, and the steepest slope in the whole ski place is getting off the lift. Or you look over that crest, and you can't see where the hill goes. Those are moments of prayer as a young kid, as I was learning to ski. And as you're going down and you're not quite in control, but you like the speed, that's also a moment of prayer. Now, as I have gotten older, I'm used to the slopes. The snow was nice. There's not a hill that bothers me. What bothers me now and what causes me to pray are the flat sections. When you're trying to ski along, and I couldn't go fast enough to keep up with them on the flat sections. And I actually would ski, and then all the momentum would be gone, and I'm just standing there. The scariest thing for me was after we got the boots on, and I'm holding skis and poles, and I have to climb back up the stairs in ski boots. And I'm thinking, dear God, I could die. It changed a lot as I got older. It changed a lot for what my goals were. I didn't worry about getting hurt. I worried about falling and not being able to get up. That's sort of the problems. I actually fell in the flat part, and a woman comes up to me, and I'm laying there on my back because you can't roll over. I've got knee braces on. I have six layers of clothes. I was kind of like the Michelin man with knee braces. My knees don't bend like that. When I'm laying flat on my back, it was, are you making a snow angel? What are you doing? I tried rolling over, just couldn't do it. The lady comes up, you okay? No, I'm old. Now, having said that, I did find that the inclines are great. Because if you fall on a black diamond, you know what? You're halfway up. You just turn sideways and it's like that. You just get right up. Nobody has to help you. It's good. So I was skiing by myself for a little bit, and I came upon, I love my favorites are the ones with really creative names, like Idiot's Delight. Oh, that's got to be a good time. So I did that one. And then I did the one, it's called either, it was either Nosedive or Nosebleed. I wasn't sure. But I came over the top of Nosebleed, and I'm looking, and there are these pretty flags. And I had never skied flags before, but I could hear the Olympic theme song playing. And I thought, this will be great. Because, you know, I'm feeling like I'm younger. Because on the hill, I am. And the flat part, when I fell trying to get on the lift, life will humble you. And you get to a place where, you know, just not having your hat fall in the urinal is a good day. So I crossed that lift and that top of that hill, and I looked down there, and there were these flags, and I thought, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum. And so I skied down, I went through them, I was feeling great. I crossed through, they had a little finish line, I won. And then as I am listening to the national anthem play, as I'm just kind of sliding down that flat part after the big hill, I'm feeling pretty good until I hear the profanity. And this profanity invaded my tranquility. A man and a woman skied up to me and were cussing me like I was on HBO. They were cussing at me about skiing on their run because they were setting up for a race. And who was I to come skiing down through there? And I'm thinking to myself, a race? And I was the first to cross the finish line. Now, I'm loving life at this point, and you're going to have a hard time messing up my parade. And so I'm looking at this guy who's yelling at me, and there's this woman, and man, they are mad. They are just cussing me up one side and down the other. I said, look, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to ski there, so I'm sorry. He said, well, you should have known. I said, look, if there was a sign, I said, was there a sign? He didn't say anything. I said, if there was a sign, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. And he goes, well, you should have seen it. Well, see, this is the past trying to invade my present. If I did wrong, my bad, but I can't fix that. I didn't break anything. I'm actually having a good time. But I'm also aware that I'm a pastor. I am a Christian and a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this present moment, I'm a pastor, and I'm on vacation. So I questioned how much of a pastor I had to be, but then I remembered, I have to preach a sermon on Sunday. And I need an illustration. And we were not on the slope anymore. We were not in my world. Because he's just going along beside me, just cussing me up one side and down the other. And so I toyed between two questions. What would Jesus do? And what would Bruce Lee do? Now, what would Bruce Lee do was pretty clear, because those things that he thought were ski poles, they're actually sharp sticks. So I was pretty sure I was never going to get to this part about turning the other cheek, because he wasn't going to come and lay a hand on me. I was going to drop him like a rock with my little sharp stick, because I had one I could throw and the other one I could, you know, whatever. And he was saying, I thought those were ski poles. But that was the what would Bruce Lee do. And I struggled with the what would Jesus do. But I knew I had to have an illustration, so I said, let's play with this guy a little bit. We've entered into my game. And so, you know, if he would have said, hey, don't ski up there because we're getting ready for a race, I'd have been, oh, sorry, you know, I'd have been gone, and I wouldn't have done it. But he kept going at me, and the woman's yelling at me, and they're using language that my mother would not be proud of. And so I had a choice. And I'll tell you this, if anybody ever cusses at you, you can try and cuss back, but he was way ahead of me on that game. And so if I tried to compete with him in using profanity, one, he used a few words I don't use, and he really didn't know whether or not my mother and father were married, so I didn't really appreciate that reference, but it was okay. And so I was trying to, okay, first I was going to be responsible for my action, but I was not going to compete on that level. So I said, I am sorry, I did not see the sign. Well, you should have. Fair enough. Didn't see it. I mean, this is skiing. He's going and he's just, didn't see the sign. Well, everybody knows. Not everybody. I haven't skied in 5 years. And so I'm really having a good time. And you can't mess with my parade, but go ahead. He said, everybody knows. I said, not everybody knows. I'm new here. And then finally, I don't remember what it was. I thought, well, what would Bruce Lee do? And Bruce Lee wouldn't engage in a cussing contest. And so I said what I thought Jesus and Bruce Lee would say. I don't appreciate your language. And what's more, I don't like your attitude. It shut him up. He skied away from me. And then he came back. And he skied away and came back. And he told me that NASCAR, I should have seen it on the flag. Well, at that point, I was going down the hill. I should have seen it on the flag and known that it was NASCAR, and NASCAR means racing. I'm from Georgia, man. NASCAR means going like this. And so we got to the bottom of the hill and just kind of went our separate ways. I thought I'd gotten in his head enough, and I figured there was a sermon illustration in there somewhere. And so I let him go on his way. I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but I decided that nobody should get cussed at for skiing down a slope that didn't have a sign on it while they were putting it up. And so knowing how churches work, if you've ever sat on a session and you know you've sat in that meeting when they go, somebody said, there are a lot of people who are upset about bulletins or whatever. And you go, well, tell them to come and talk about it. No, they won't. Yeah, I heard that too. And you sort through it and you find out it's really not they, it's one person who spoke to a lot of people. So in order to protect others from this foul language, I spoke to several people along the way and just said, have you ever worked with those people doing the race? You might want to say, they should tone it down a little bit. They cussed me. And so I said that to several people, knowing that at some point in Boyne Mountain, there's going to be a meeting of staff and somebody's going to say, I had a complaint about these guys. And somebody's going to say, yeah, I heard that too. And they'll be, oh, they're a bunch of people. But maybe it will tone them down a little bit. And I can't decide if I was doing that for the greater good or just to win. And I accepted that it was probably both of them. Now, all that is to, it's not just filler. This is to give you a really wonderful set of four stages of life that have been in the back of my mind waiting for a sermon for one day. And today's the day. This is by Carl Jung. And this is four stages of development. And it will be obvious to you as you think about it through your life, whether you skied or not. The first stage is the stage of the athlete, is what he calls it. It's not really about being an athlete, it's just being aware of your body and what your body can do and how your body changes. And so you become very preoccupied with your body and with appearance. And like most stages, we don't always outgrow them, but this is what other people think about you, but also how you are developing. And you outgrow that stage as you become in a relationship with others to the warrior stage. And so when you get to the top of a mountain, you want to conquer it, whether you're climbing up it or skiing down it, or whether it's a mental mountain or an emotional mountain, you want to be a warrior. This is also the racing stage. This is also the competitive stage. This is where you compare yourself to others, whether it be with the house you live in, the money you make, or whatever. This is a competitive stage about conquering the world. That's the second stage. The third stage, and believe me, in all these stages, life will humiliate you. Now we're racing down a mountain, and I said, watch out, there's a skier. And this little 8-year-old goes, zoom, zoom, zoom. Our race was pretty moot at that point. Okay. Cowabunga, that's just how it goes. But life will get you there. But then when you outgrow and you grow into the next stage, it's either called the statement stage or the statesman. And what you start to think about is, how can I make a difference in the world? And I think we're really doing that here, about how we think of making a difference and make life better and make it better in the world for all God's children everywhere. And what that looks like becomes, it's often difficult, but that's the goal. You think outside of yourself and how you can make a change. The fourth stage is the spiritual stage. And that's really where you want to go, and that's what this passage is about. See, the spirit stage, according to Jung, is you grow from being a human who every once in a while has a spiritual experience to being a spirit having a human experience. It's when somebody can be yelling at you and you just observe it. You don't necessarily accept their game. Or when you face a challenge or a crisis and you observe it without letting it define you. And you realize that all ends of the spectrum, from pain to pleasure, are things that we experience as spirits having a human experience. And the human experience includes falling in the lift line or the ecstasy of down the hill. It's all part of that dynamic. But again, the development is from a human who may become open to having a spiritual experience to being a spirit going through a human experience, which allows you to say, what's that like for you? Well, here's what that's like for me. And to realize that the guy and the woman who were cussing me out, they were just emotionally, they fell down to me. Like I fell down the lift line. It's not something they're going to brag about to their kids. It just happens. And you have a better day. And the temptation for me when I got back to the top, I broke the rule, but I didn't know it. But my temptation was, I was really thinking about breaking the rule the second time and skiing past them. I overcame that for now. But I was, in that moment, I was okay. The challenge was not to let him get in my head the rest of the day. And that's where it becomes difficult, because you get out of that spiritual experience. So looking and thinking about this text, really quickly, it puts it all in perspective. Instead of being a moral list that you can't achieve, a double black diamond that you can't ski down, when he says, I say to you that listen. Listening is about paying attention. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. That's the power of the spirit having a human experience. If somebody wants to be your enemy, you don't have to accept that. I learned this when I was 7 years old. My best friend was Greg Chambers, and I was so mad at Greg, I told him, I'm going to kill you. And he said, no, you're not. I said, why not? Because you can't catch me. And he was right. Greg was fast, and I chased him, and I wanted to hurt him, and he laughed at me. And I said, you are not my friend. He said, yes, I am. I said, you're not my best friend. He said, oh, yeah, I am. I said, why? He said, you can't be. He said, yeah, I am, because I say so. Greg Chambers was living in the spirit. Because see, loving your enemies is because you can. Not because it's the commandment. Don't take the Lord's name in vain is a commandment. But loving your enemies is the power. Loving God who loves you, that's good. But loving those who may or may not, now you're claiming your power. And that's a spirit having a human experience. Jesus goes on to say, do to others as you would have them do to you. This is Jesus' golden rule. If you want to know what separates Christianity from all other religions, as far as their morality, our morality, it's proactive. It's the power to do in the world. All the other golden rules are to the negative. Don't do to others what you would not like yourself, and then there will be no resentment against you. Confucius. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Buddha. This is the sum of duty. Do not to others what you would not have them do to you. Hindu. That's the power of the spirit and the human experience. Is you get to do. It's not to the negative, it's the proactive. Because that's life. And that's maturity. And that's what we're going for. Change the world, yes, but to be spirits involved in the world, living it fully, the whole range, and being together while not losing your identity is it. That's the flags, that's our Olympic goal. And you can chew that every day. Let's pray. God, in this human experience, we would be spirits. We would live with the power and the freedom and the wonder and the joy and the ability to love. God, help us not to judge others or to profane others, because that just comes back on us. Like a gift that somebody doesn't receive, it just comes back. God, help us instead to do what we would like done. And the world will have to change, and your kingdom will abound. That's why we've come, that's why we've gathered, and that's why we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.